The prosperity gospel. Is there anything right about it, anything biblical about it, or is it a complete distortion? Is it wrong from top to bottom? We'll take that up today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Last week, I got a call, someone asking about what's called the prosperity gospel. Some would call it the health and wealth gospel. We talked about it briefly on the air, and I said, you know, I've not yet devoted an entire show to that subject. And seeing that it's Tuesday, when we focus on biblical issues, theological issues, practical living issues, apologetics, I thought this would be the right time to take it up. What's right? What's wrong? With what is called the prosperity gospel. 866-34-TRUTH to weigh in. That's 866-348-7884. You can weigh in on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown page. That's Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, or AskDrBrown.org on our website. Click on the Line of Fire. Now, I want to make this as clear as I can. If by prosperity gospel you hear, and you think I mean, the doctrine that Jesus died on the cross to make us rich, that that was a major purpose in God, that Jesus died on the cross to make us financially rich, there is nothing right about that message. That is an erroneous message. That is a dangerous message. That is an unbiblical message. If by the prosperity gospel you mean that there is no lack in God, that God is not glorified by our own poverty or lack, and that he supplies abundantly for his work, there is much truth in that, although there's error along with that in terms of an emphasis. So I want to get your take. Do you believe in a gospel that promises earthly riches? Do you believe in a gospel that says that God wants all of us to prosper and be financially successful? Or do you believe, that that message is from the pit, or that message is at the least a distortion of a biblical message? Do you believe that the gospel thrives more among the poor, or that it's God's will that the poor become rich? 866-34-TRUTH. This issue is not going away. This issue is still blasted from the airwaves. It is blasted especially through TV preaching and lots of popular venues. At the same time, we're in an economic crisis, and we better know that we have a biblical understanding of finances. We better be sure that we have a right understanding of what God wants to give us and not give us. And right economics, does that tie in with the gospel? 866-34-TRUTH. Now, I don't refer to a health and wealth gospel because I make the clear distinction between God's promises for healing and the issue of finances. All right? And I'll get into that a little bit more as we go on, but I don't want to tip my hand too much and explain exactly why I say that. But I'm not talking about health and wealth. We just want to talk about the wealth part, the prosperity gospel. And I want to hear from folks on both sides because I know you're there. But here's a clip from one TV preacher that is certainly emphasizing what many would say is the wrong side of the prosperity gospel. Number one, Joey.
As long, my sister, I know you've been reading the Bible, but as long as we say lay it up, the wicked going to keep it. But God says time for us to tell that money, you don't belong to the wicked, you belong to us, and I want you to get in the right place. Money coming to me now.
All right, and that video goes on, and I've seen large scenes with maybe several tens of thousands of people all shouting at the same time, money cometh to me now, and reaching their hands out and pulling the money in by faith. You say, man, that's a perversion. I mean, that is not the gospel. That's covetousness. That's greed. That's carnality. That's an American version. That's a reproach that stinks to the high heavens. And others would say, but I need money. I can't feed my kids. My husband left me. The government's letting me down. I need to believe God for finances. Does God promise that? And when Jesus died for me, did he die just to save my spirit? Let my body and finances rot here? Something to talk about. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with your calls and my take on the issue.
Games of the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do the Old Testament promises of financial provision still apply to us today in the New Testament? Do the New Testament authors also give promises of financial provision to us today? Is it still true that we reap what we sow? Or is the problem the emphasis on finances, the emphasis on things, as if it is the will of God, as if it is the will of God, the desire of God for all of us to prosper financially? Is it an error to equate financial prosperity with spirituality? Is that one of the carnal distortions of what we call the prosperity gospel? We want to sort this out constructively. What's right? What's wrong with the prosperity gospel? I want to get to as many calls as possible. And I've got, I wrote down 12 points before the show on both sides of the issue to lay this out. 866-34-TRUTH online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. All right, before I give you my thoughts, I want to go straight to the phones, beginning with Will in Jessup, Maryland. What's your take on this, Will?
Hello, Will. Hello.
You're on the air.
I just wanted to say that I've listened to a lot of prosperity preaching early in my faith, and would hear a preacher preach in the name of Jesus and quote a verse or two and just assume that they were preaching. And, I was very ignorant in the Bible, and I find a lot of them are Pentecostals. They'll take one line of text and just make it say what they want it to say. And what I'm trying to say is my life actually got worse.
Uh-huh.
And then I actually heard a real preacher. And to me, prosperity is going to heaven when you die and being delivered from yourself. Able to worship God. And I do believe God will open financial blessing for his purpose and his kingdom. Mm-hmm. And to be a part of that is just even better.
All right. And Will, what did you feel went wrong in your life when you were hearing what you would call a prosperity gospel message? How did your life get worse?
Well, it was all about money, and I was focusing on how God was going to bless me, and I wasn't looking at myself as a sinner.
Uh-huh.
And it takes you off of yourself, and then I could see how the devil could use that, because if you're not looking at your sin and yourself and Christ, you're looking at your wallet and your bank account.
Got it.
It becomes your God, money.
Got it. Very clear. Hey, Will, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. That's pretty strong. You're not looking at your own life, your life in Jesus. You're looking at your wallet. Ron in Peterborough, Ontario, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, Dr. Brown.
You're welcome.
I have a real challenge. I have a challenge with the prosperity ministers.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest challenge is that I feel that because of so many of them seem to be charismatic in nature,
mm-hmm.
That they use this advantage to market God. And I don't like the idea of marketing God.
Right.
The word marketing is a word that I feel is appropriate for what they're doing. I mean, I know it's a business. There's lots of money being taken in.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it really as a financial endeavor rather
right.
than a spiritual one.
All right, Ron, let me ask you some very straight questions, okay? Paul talks about peddling the word of God for profit. We do not peddle the word of God for profit. Do you feel that these men, we're not naming names, but just broadly speaking, that these men you're thinking about are peddling the word of God for profit?
Yes.
Okay. And that would go along with marketing. All right, another straight question for you. On this broadcast, most every day we give a resource offer. If you say, we'll send you this or that, or we remind folks that the radio station is, that the show is listener supported. Does that strike you as marketing? Just be as honest with me as you can.
Yes and no. Dr. Brown, you've never been deceptive about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're straight out. I've listened to you quite a few times. I've read your books. You've always been very straight up front about that. There's nothing deceptive about you in the way that you come up with the subject. I think deception is what I'm talking about here.
Okay.
I mean, these people can stand up at the front and they look terrific, they talk terrific, they say beautiful words, but behind the scene, there is an aura of deception that is hard to discern.
And you would feel that
under the idea of marketing to me.
Okay, and that ultimately this is a way for them to get financial gain.
That's correct.
Got it. Okay, as opposed to us trying to pay a radio bill, this is a way for somebody to get financial gain.
Like I said, you've been very open since I've talked to you many times, mm-hmm. and I respect that, and I don't find you deceptive at all.
Got it. Yeah, well, that's why I'm asking straight questions for clarity as much as possible. Hey, Ron, thank you for calling in. And if you're going to get on TV and sell something, you got to be charismatic in some way. I mean, whether you're just a secular salesman with a natural charisma, you know, buy this. This will change your life. You got to have some charisma with it. But for Ron, this is a charisma that's just designed for financial gain. Mercedes in Brooklyn, what's your take on this?
I feel that the time has come where there needed to be some balance in the preaching of the gospel.
Uh-huh.
If you look at most communities, the pastors have their own houses, but the members live in the project, dodging bullets.
Mm.
And there are no programs educating the members. For instance, in New York, there was a time you could have bought a house for $1. The ministers never took the opportunity to teach and educate the members. God is a God of balance. That's why he said, I wish above all things that you will prosper, be in good health, as your soul prospers. God is a God of balance.
Mm-hmm.
This is not about bring your offering, bring offering for birthday, bring offering tithes, everything. And no one is teaching you about using the balance of it to go and buy yourself a house. So, yes, I appreciate the fact that they are focusing on that, but I want them to strike a balance that is not just about getting the money, but remembering it is God who gives you the prosperity, and you must handle the money as a good steward. That never has happened. That's why everyone is nervous now. But over the years, even ministers who went overseas, they would come and preach the gospel, land up taking a piece of the people's property, building lovely homes, but the people were living in squalor.
Right, right.
So
understood.
What is happening is that a balance, they're attempting to strike a balance, but I think we have gone just from one end to the next. What we need to do is pull it to the center, because there's no reason why a pastor should live in his own house, have tax advantages, and his members are going to live in squalor and ghetto.
All right, so if prosperity is true, it has to work for the congregation and not just for the leader. Hey, Mercedes, thank you for weighing in. Sal, near Beaumont, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me. First of all, I do want to say that I'm a Roman Catholic Christian, and it kind of is entertaining and amusing sometimes to hear the prosperity gospel apply to material wealth and things of that nature. And I think where you're coming from is, and I'm going to take a very balanced approach, sort of like what the lady previous to me took, but I will say a little bit more about it, in that just like the guy who called previously, there seems to be this one verse or a passage in the gospel, and then a theology is built upon that particular passage in a particular sect or a particular faction of the church, and that is the theology that is preached all the time. And what I think is missing is the completeness and the wholeness of the total gospel message, Old Testament and New Testament,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, they miss the take up your cross and follow me. He didn't say your gold fleece blanket or your Mercedes Benz. He said take up your cross and follow me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the people in the desert were screaming for, you know, where, you know, well, how have you brought us out into the desert to starve, this and that and the other? Well, you know, that kind of misperception of what God's promise really is, what did it do? It led to the people in the desert building a golden calf and worshiping an idol.
All right, Sal, let me just jump in and ask you a question, because I've got a break coming up. I appreciate your comments and the larger gospel context. Catholic priests have to take a vow of poverty, correct?
Well, some do, not all.
So it's not mandatory for all.
That's right.
That's part of their saying that they renounce the hold of this world and they're not living for earthly things, right?
That's correct.
All right. Do you think there can be a negative mentality towards finances because of that, although the Vatican certainly has a lot of money? Can there be a poverty mentality that comes out of that?
There can be, but it's like I said, God is a God of order and a God of balance. Mm-hmm. And there has to be balance and order in all of that to where you understand that the basic message and all of the parables really are associated with the kingdom of God and spiritual.
Hey, Sal, somehow I lost you there. Just lost you there, friend. But I appreciate you weighing in. Appreciate you sharing your thoughts from Roman Catholic and biblical perspective as well. All right, I'm going to come back and tell you five things that are right with the prosperity gospel before I give you my list of things that are wrong. More your calls. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're talking about the prosperity gospel today. Is there anything right about it? What's wrong about it? I've got a bunch of callers that want to get on and share what they differ with in this message. If you believe in what people would call the prosperity gospel or believe that God wants all of his children to financially prosper, that is part of what Jesus died for, that it is good news for the poor, that they can be financially rich. Give us a call. I want to get both sides, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. Before I go to the phones, just a reminder, we've got some really important programming coming up this week. Tomorrow, I'll be interviewing folks from Mass Resistance working in Massachusetts. A lot of important things to share, some insights from what happened in New York with same-sex marriage, some thoughts about former Governor Romney you probably want to hear, especially if you're supporters of Governor Romney. You might want to be poised to call in. That'll be tomorrow, Thursday. God willing, we'll focus on a video with God on our side. It is an anti-Christian Zionist video. We'll have some friends weighing in from Israel as well. And it's always Friday. You've got questions. We've got answers. Okay. Let me just list five things that are right with a prosperity gospel. Not meaning Jesus died to make us wealthy, all right, that he primarily came into the world to make us wealthy, or that earthly riches is a proof of spiritual blessing. Just truths that can be preached in the midst of a prosperity gospel. Then I'll give you my list of what's wrong. Number one, there is no lack or shortage in God. And it's important that we have that mentality. Sometimes we think the less we have, the more spiritual we are. The more behind in bills we are, the more spiritual we are. The less our church has, the more spiritual we are. There's no biblical support for that. Yes, we may suffer lack for the gospel. We may be in difficult parts of the world in the midst of a lot of suffering and pain, and we're not going to be eating filet mignon in the midst of that. But there's no lack in God. And number two, there's an abundance of scriptural promises that tell us God supplies our needs. Old Testament and New Testament. Some of the universal wisdom of Proverbs still applies to today. I mean, the hard work ethic still applies, and righteousness exalts a nation. Sinners are reproached to any people. That applies, and principles about honoring parents, those things apply. And the same way, there are financial principles in Proverbs and principles about generosity that tell us plainly that that God supplies our needs, and Jesus said, if we give, it'll be given back. There are many promises, Old and New Testament, that God supplies our needs. And three, he wants to make us channels of blessing throughout the world. That's a truth as well. I have preached in many churches that do not understand the blessing of finances, and they are not enabled to empower you to get work done. They're not enabled to help us minister to hurting people in India. They're not able to help others feed the poor in different parts of the world because they're so struggling meeting their own needs. And number four, God rewards generosity with generosity. We do reap what we sow. That's true. And this is Old Testament promises and New Testament promises. And number five, money is important in terms of getting God's work done in the earth and in meeting our personal needs. It does play a role. So that's important. Sometimes there is a spirituality, which is a false spirituality, in many church circles, because of which having nothing, having little, was somehow considered to be a sign of holiness. Like someone said in the church in which I was saved, which was absolutely not a prosperity church. Absolutely not. But, you know, if the pastor had holes in his shoes, that made him holy. And others have realized, no, we need to be generous. We need to believe God abundantly. But some good definitions Randy just sent into me from across the pane of glass here. Derek Prince's teaching on prosperity. He said, abundance is having enough for your needs to be met and to have something to give. And Leonard Ravenhill has pointed out that the modern church can no longer say silver and gold, I have none, especially some parts of it. Neither can it say arise and walk, as per Acts, the third chapter. All right, back to the phones, beginning with David in Arlington, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, thank you. New listener and first-time caller. I'm not one for, as some of the previous speakers have been on, I'm not for balance at all. I don't see a balance, period. I think it goes to the right to the very heart of what discipleship is. One caller pointed out about taking up your cross. I think he was from Texas. This brother is right on target. When you take a course in discipleship in just about any churches, you will not hear Matthew 10:35-37 or Luke 14:26-27.
Yep. All and important verses.
Others, and there's others, too, that mention, that really talk about a true believer if you want to be a disciple. Now, that's the really rub. And when it talks about denying self, you know, it just goes right to the heart. If you really want to get right down to it and just wrap all this up in congested, I think just go to Romans 12:1. If you really want to worship God, then you're going to be willing to surrender your life to him, which he says is your reasonable form of service and worship. And the result of that, and in my opinion, Dr. Brown, only unless that condition is met, you do not qualify for verse 2, which says then you can have your mind renewed and so forth. And I'll end it on this. When you, and without mentioning any of these pastors or these teachers out here, you can pack a stadium as many times if you watch this on television. You'll see stadiums literally packed to the gills. Well, of course they're going to be packed because when you offer the world right. will come.
Yes, sir.
And that's it. And Jesus' message was very narrow, very concise, and I'll end it on this. Godliness with contentment, there it is.
Yep, 1 Timothy 6.
Is great gain. And then Paul said, in every situation that I have found myself in, I have learned. There's your sanctification. I have learned to be content. Why? Because his focus was up on the people. And again,
hey, David, really, hey, I just got to jump in. I've got great comments, great citation of verses about denying ourselves, leaving everything, following Jesus, and even the hint of the preacher in you since you closed twice. But thank you, David. Wonderful comments. I appreciate it. All right. Everybody on hold, hang in there. We will be coming back to you. Our friends listening on WAVA-FM from whence I broadcast yesterday, just reminders, you'll be leaving momentarily and won't hear my 7 things that are wrong with the prosperity gospel. You can listen to 2 hours of programming on the AM station from 6 to 8 or catch us online at askdrbrown.org. We've got an important resource that we are offering this week at a discounted price. And it's a great, very important resource. In fact, after tomorrow's shows, you'll be even all the more convinced. Attorney Joan Franco is a senior attorney with the Alliance Defense Fund. 2 summers ago, came in and did 6 hours of teaching for us on the separation of church and state and talked about the origins of the concept in major cases taking place in America today. It's 6 hours on a CD for your computer or MP3 player. It's $25, which is a great price for that. However, as an added blessing and to sow more into as our listening audience, when you order that, we'll give you free my 6-hour series on It's Time to Rock the Boat, a real wake 'em up, shake 'em up, stir your heart series. So the two together for $25, and we'll pay the postage. But call us today at 1-800-278-9978. Anything above and beyond that in contribution helps us reach more people through these radio airwaves. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. 7-8.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. A delight to be with you today as we talk about what's right, what's wrong with the prosperity gospel. Our last caller, David from Arlington, was making reference to scripture verses. You may not have had a chance or may not have been able to look them up, but he was quoting verses about take up your cross, deny yourself, follow me, leave everything, follow me, those types of verses, and making clear that what God requires from us is everything. We don't earn our salvation, but he saves us to belong to him. And when we completely give ourselves over to him, heart, mind, body, soul, spirit, when we live to do his will, that's when we now are in alignment with his other promises. And we were reminded about the promise to be content. And another caller reminded us that Jesus said, take up the cross. He didn't tell us to get in a beautiful Mercedes and follow him. Now, it's not a sin to have a Mercedes, okay? It's a sin to be covetous. It's a sin to be greedy. It's a sin to love earthly things. That's sinful. It's not sin to have a nice car. In fact, some of us think that we're holy if we have a really lousy car and it keeps breaking down and we have to impose on our friends to drive us around and it costs so much money to repair that if we got a little bit better car, if we had sufficient humility to get a little bit better car, the thing wouldn't keep breaking down. There's no question there's a lot of wrong emphasis in the contemporary prosperity gospel. But there are truths that are important that we hold on to. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Hey, a reminder for all of our listeners in the greater New York area. Let the people vote rallies showing your support for marriage, standing against the perversion and redefinition of marriage. People may be very sincere fighting for what they say is equality and tolerance. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that there are many same-sex people who really want to marry and who are in love. I don't doubt that. But we're not going to redefine marriage based on that. Let the people vote. This is not hate gays. This is let the people vote rally so that the people can vote and decide for themselves. They'll be happening in Manhattan, Buffalo, Rochester, Albany on July 24th. That's Sunday, a week from Sunday. Go to letthepeoplevote.com. And a reminder, for anyone within an hour or two of Connecticut area, where is it, West Haven, I think we'll be, this weekend, Friday night and all day Saturday, so morning, afternoon, evening, a wonderful Israel conference this coming Friday, Saturday. Go to AskDrBrown.org, and right on the homepage, you'll see our itinerary there. All right, back to the phones. Bob in Hyattsville, Maryland, what's your take on the prosperity gospel?
God bless you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Well, you know, I guess I'm trying to keep it brief, but, you know, when you're listening to other callers, you get all these ideas and everything.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, of course, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil things. It's not money. If money's innocent. It's like computers. You know, computers didn't do nothing. They don't have artificial intelligence yet, I don't think. But I was thinking during when the economy started tanking, I happened to find this out because of calling a couple things. And that Truth Cathy, this guy, I've never met the man. I'd love to meet him. He just turned 90, I think. He has, Chick-fil-A's restaurants. And he opened up like 40 new, that's approximately, something like that, I think they said, 40 new restaurants. Instead of running away, taking the money and run, he opened up a bunch of new places, which hired, I don't know how many people. I guess it had to be in the thousands. And he's, you know, if you do happen to become rich and you do something like that, rather than just packing it all away and hitting the road, I guess maybe that's an example of if you do get wealthy financially, and obviously your soul has prospered to do something like that, I would think.
All right, so what you're suggesting, though, Bob, and we've got a break coming up, but it's great you mentioned that example. Here's a company that closes on Sundays because of their Christian convictions, that has Christian music playing in their stores, that's famous for customer service and family values, and yet we would all say that the blessing that they're experiencing is blessing from God. So people would say, yeah, that's the message of the prosperity gospel. But the question is the motivation in the heart of the Chick-fil-A folks greed, or is there something beyond that? Ah, back with more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. I'm trying to restrain laughter. I was just sent a link to a new review of A Queer Thing Happened to America that begins with the words, I feel like I'm doing something really new with this review, and that I'm telling you that the only place this book belongs is at the bottom of a stack of camel dung. Not only is it poorly written, it is totally untrue and seems to be just another attempt to use the Bible to say that gay people are no blank good. Maybe if Michael Brown had basic writing skills, I could have at least said the book was written well, but there's nothing here that is any good, and the author should be dropped off the face of the earth. By Amos Lassen. God bless you, Amos. Wow, that is classic. All right. Our focus is on the prosperity gospel today, but I just was sent that link during a break and was trying to compose myself. Coming back in from the break, 866-34-TRUTH. I've got a list of seven things that are wrong with the prosperity gospel. I gave a list of five things that were right earlier in the show, but I have emphasized that if by the prosperity gospel you mean that Jesus died to make us financially wealthy, there's nothing right about that. If we mean that God's not glorified by our poverty and lack and that he supplies abundantly for his work, then there's truth and error in that message. And I distinguish between a health and wealth gospel for good reasons. There are differences in what the Word of God says about health and what it says about wealth. All right, before I go back to the phones, Joey, play for us clip number two, John Piper.
I don't know what you feel about the prosperity gospel, the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, but I'll tell you what I feel about it, hatred. It is not the gospel. And it's being exported from this country to Africa and Asia, selling a bill of goods to the poorest of the poor. Believe this message, your pigs won't die, your wife won't have miscarriages, you have rings on your fingers and coats on your back. That's coming out of America.
Now, you see, I would, with all respect for John Piper's point, and I've been overseas and seen the prosperity gospel of America go overseas, and it's grieved me. I've seen the negative fruit of it. I was preaching in Nigeria one time at maybe about 800 pastors and talking about hardship and persecution for the gospel and taking up the cross, and one of the brothers came up to me and said, man, we need this message. We just don't hear it anymore. All we hear is prosperity message. That was grievous in Nigeria. On the flip side, you better believe that people, the poorest of the poor, take hold of the gospel and trust him, and the pig doesn't die. And praise God that the child doesn't starve to death, and the wife stops miscarrying and has kids. Don't you think that God blesses people like that around the world? And I don't tie that in with a prosperity gospel of wearing fancy coats and gorgeous rings. I'd make a distinction there. All right, back to the phones. Terry and Frederick, Maryland, thanks for holding. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi. All I have to say is I think it's a shame that so many people listen to all these prosperity ministers, if you will, and they're not willing to find God's truth for themselves. You have to have a relationship with God, and the only way they're going to be able to do that is know God's word. And then they would know all the falsities that occur in these prosperity gospel messages. And, you know, I was a new believer around 6 years ago, and I did think, okay, tithe, and I will, you know, get back tenfold and all that kind of stuff. And it really made me question my level of I don't know, a person who Christ loved, I guess, if you will, because things were going really bad for me financially. And I now see, my goodness, not experienced all the financial hardship, and I would not be so close to God like I am today. When we do go through hard times, we need to cling to and not expect him to give to us. He will give to us when we with him. And I just wish that more people would just get in his word than that, no, you have to verify scripture with scripture. You can't take one little piece of scripture out of the Bible and run with it. You've got to know what God intends in his word and his message, and you can't take an excerpt out of a paragraph, if you will. You've got to know the whole story.
Got it. You know, it reminds me of a verse in Luke 12 where Jesus tells his disciples, "Fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I heard that preached one time with a prosperity emphasis, but the preacher didn't go to the next verse, which said, based on that, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Hey, Terry, thank you for calling in, 866-34-TRUTH. Jim in Bowie, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Jim. It looks like we lost Jim there. Steve in Timbrook Pines, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you. I've listened to you a couple of times. You are really, really, really into the Lord. But to get to the point, a previous caller said, and we didn't say it, Jesus said it, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto you. And we could go back to a couple of callers before that where the woman was talking about balance. And God is a God of balance and order. And even in Isaiah, it says, if you do this, and if you do that, and then when you do this, and then when you do that, then God can do this. God is a God of order, and how is he able to trust you with all of these things if he can't even trust you with a dollar? I mean, on the other hand, the prosperity gospel is pretty much valid, but those are things that are for mature Christians. That's not a word for a baby Christian or a preemie Christian or adolescent Christian. That's from a Christian who's been through the trials and the fires and the flood. And you lean on God, right before me was saying, you have to go through it and get some maturity before God will trust you with prosperity as far as finances are concerned.
So in other words, the principles of, if you're faithful with little, you're faithful with much. If you're faithful with natural things, you'll be faithful with spiritual things. And the big issue, Steve, of course, would be the emphasis. Am I seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or am I seeking things? Am I believing God for the latest model car or newest computer or best house, or am I seeking God and his purposes and what is needed is added? Hey, Steve, I appreciate the call, 866-34-TRUTH. Carlton in Staten Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, doctor, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
I was looking forward for this show coming up. If I could just say one comment, is that the message of prosperity gospel, I think it leaves people disillusioned more than anything else, because it seems to be the most popular gospel message, first of all, and then, you know, they tell you, you know, give money into the ministry and give and give and give, and, you know, we'll have this line, $500, you get this kind of prayer, this or that, and they say, you know, like, God is a genie in a bottle.
Right, but and God, Carlton, it's a real abuse when you're told, send in this amount and get a special blessing. I mean, that's, even if God honors the sincerity of some of the people because they're giving to him, that is really prostituting the word of God. That is a practice that scares me when I see people doing it on TV. In fact, I just have to shut it off and pray for mercy on them. It brings terrible reproach to the gospel. And yeah, the genie in a bottle thing is absolutely, there's so many problems with that and with the public abuse we see of it. Years ago, my wife said to me, you know, if people really believed in this, you know, the seed faith thing, and of course there are truths, we reap what we sow, that's a biblical truth. But if it was really true, she said, they should be sending us money. In other words, if I believe in seed faith, then I should be sending all of you listeners money, because then it'll multiply back to me as opposed to me telling you to send it to me. So, there's a lot of foreign mixture and a lot of real deception and a lot of real problems mixed in with some biblical truths. And that's what the catch is. Can we take hold of what's true about God meeting our needs and making us channels of blessing to the world without getting caught up in greed and covetousness and a carnal prosperity message? That's the real question.
At the same time, you know, it leads unbelievers, you know, when they come in contact with the prosperity gospel message, you know, then they'll go to a Christian friend or a family member and say, oh, see, I knew it. Your church is all about money. All they want is money so that they can have, you know, the nicest car, so that they can have a bigger house. You know, for a new believer to hear this kind of message, I mean, it's kind of true what the previous caller said. You can't take that in as a new believer because it will disillusion you to the fact where you could get so sidetracked into thinking that the whole purpose for God saving somebody is to make them rich,
yeah,
to make them
happy. Absolutely. And that's not why we've been saying, hey, Carlton, you hear the music, that means we're out of time. But great comments. Thank you, sir, for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. We come back. More of your calls in my list of seven things that are wrong with the prosperity gospel message.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today in this discussion about the prosperity gospel, what is right and wrong with it. Again, if by the prosperity gospel you mean that Jesus died to make us rich and that's the goal of the gospel, there's nothing right about that. And one of my colleagues years back said that that message is from the pit of hell. It is absolutely not from above. If you mean by the message that God is an abundant God and wants to supply our needs and bless us as we're generous to him and allow us to be generous to others, well, sure, there's plenty of biblical truth in that. 866-34-TRUTH. I've said what's right about the message is there's no lack in God. There are an abundance of scriptural promises that God supplies our needs. He wants to make us channels of blessing throughout the world. He rewards generosity with generosity. We do reap what we sow. And money is important in terms of getting God's work done in the earth and meeting our personal needs. And often, those that preach a prosperity message, even with error in it, have a real desire to be generous and help, whereas those that oppose it sometimes are the stingiest people you'll ever meet. Something's wrong with that. But let me give you my list of seven things that are wrong with the message, and then I'll get to a few more calls. Number one, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. 1 Timothy 6. Number two, covetousness is idolatry, and our lives do not consist in the abundance of our possessions. Many New Testament scriptures on that. Number three, we are commanded not to love the world or the things of the world. 1 John 2. Number four, Jesus taught us to store up heavenly treasures since our hearts would follow our treasures. Matthew 6. Number five, the gospel begins with a call to deny ourselves and take up the cross all throughout the gospels. Number six, some of the saintliest people on the earth are the poorest. In fact, the gospel tends to thrive more among the poor than the rich, James chapter 2. Number seven, having food and clothing, we should be content. The pursuit of riches leads to destruction. And any message that we're hearing that is encouraging us to pursue earthly riches, not to pursue kingdom purposes, not to say, hey, I'm a businessman, and I've set a standard of living for myself. I'm not looking to be the richest person in my community. I've set a standard of living, but I want to be able to give as much as I can to kingdom work. That's one thing. But Paul warns, I mean, read 1 Timothy 6. If you haven't read it in a while, read 1 Timothy 6 and look at the warnings there about the love of money and about the carnal mind that thinks that godliness is a means to financial gain. Paul warns about that and how those seeking riches plunge themselves into destruction. And having food and clothing, we should be content. Then look at the rest of the promises and realize that God's heart is always for the Great Commission, for the glorifying of Jesus. He meets our needs while we live in this world, but that's not the goal. That's just a means, just a channel for the gospel to go forth. Reverend Tom in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Yes, I do agree with you. What you've been speaking about for the last hour or so. My experience is this, that I think it's more important to focus on the gift giver rather than the gift. And I once did have an opportunity to speak with some very well-known television ministers, and one who called me because I had written him a letter asking him, instead of trying to promote what God will give back to you for donating to your ministry, how about just making an announcement on TV that we'd like you to give to God just for who he is. And on that note, the gentleman who is the CEO of that network called me. And we had quite an interesting conversation. Of course, he wouldn't do that, you know, suggest to the viewers that they give to God just for who he is, not for what they expect to get in return. But I did ask him and challenge him to do that. And I think that that's where we get off track, is that we focus on what we might get in return or what God will do for us in return. And I think that that's where the teaching really kind of runs off the railroad track. That's my two cents anyway.
Yeah, very good two cents. I appreciate it. Look, it is true. There are many promises that if we give, it's given back to us. And I've seen it in my own life over and over again, as I've given out of need, but in faith, and God's opened up blessing. But for me, it was a spiritual transaction that brought great rejoicing because of watching what God had done, as opposed to the goal was my earthly prosperity. Hey, thanks for weighing in, sir. 866-34-ALL-RIGHT, I'm giving out the number with like 2 minutes left in the show, and the phone lines load. All right, tell you what, those of you that have been holding, if you'd like to hold on for a few more minutes, I'll take your calls early on in the next hour. You'll get to the top of the list, so I will get to you early on in the next hour. You won't be able to hear it on your radio stations, but you can hear it online, or you can keep listening on the phone. So hang in there, everybody that's holding. I'll do my best to get to your calls early on in the next hour. I think, friends, it's really important that we ask ourselves, what am I living for? What am I living for? Am I living to see Jesus glorified? Am I living to see the kingdom advanced? I am often praying for funds, but it's not for me. It's to enable us to reach more people through the gospel. If you believe in what we're doing on radio, you understand that we pray for funds to pay the radio bills. We take missions trips. We have missionaries all around the world that we support. Our ministry is, in fact, the first fruits of everything that you send in to our ministry goes to help support our workers all around the world. There's no hype. That's the fact. That's where the first fruits goes, to help support our missionaries around the world. When I say our missionaries, I mean folks that studied in our school that we equipped, sent out by God's grace with our team, and they're bearing fruit around the world. That's where we start. So I'm jealous to see funds, not so I can have newer and better and best. Okay, we our needs are met in this world. We try to have wisdom about how we do that. But my heart's set on seeing Jesus glorified around the earth. If that's where your heart is set, friend, then you can be believing God for funds and saying, Lord, I've got to pay my own bills, excuse me, and meet the needs of my family. He understands. He's caring. He's compassionate, of course. But when funds, finances, earthly things becomes the object of the gospel, that's greed. That's carnality. That's complete immaturity. And normally the ones that prosper the most from it are the ones getting your money. So let's have our hearts in the right place and then recognize that God's a generous God. And as we live in generosity, looking at ourselves as givers rather than receivers, we can bring about change. Okay, I want to remind you of a really important resource. I'd love for all of you to get a copy of this if you're able to. Joe Infranco, senior attorney with Alliance Defense Fund, teaching on the separation of church and state and some of the key court cases taking place in America today. 6 hours of teaching on CD for your MP3 player or your computer. It's just $25 for all 6 hours. However, if you order it today, just to be a blessing to you, we will give you my 6-hour class on It's Time to Rock the Boat, which will stir you. Trust me, stir you. Wake up, shake up kind of teaching. So the two together for $25, 12 hours of teaching, and we'll pay the postage as well. But call us now at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, let us seek that which is above. Let us set our heart on heavenly things, not earthly things. Let us set our heart on God and his kingdom and his righteousness. Let us set our heart on the purposes of God going forth in the earth today, and we will see that in him there is no lack. The prosperity gospel. Is there anything right about it? Anything biblical about it? Or is it a complete distortion? Is it wrong from top to bottom? We'll take that up today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The prosperity gospel, the idea that Jesus died to make us rich, the idea that good news for the poor is that you don't have to be poor anymore, you can be rich. The idea that if we give, God will give back to us a hundredfold. Is there any truth to this, or is it completely off base? Or are there truths within the prosperity gospel, namely that God is generous to those who are generous, that there's an abundance in him, that there's no lack in him, that if we seek him and his kingdom, everything else will be added to us, that he'll make us channels of blessing to touch the entire world? Are there truths to it that get mixed with the message? Is there right? Is there wrong? That's what we're going to take up today. I was reminded when I got a call about this last week that, yeah, I just don't think, certainly in the months we've been on many of your stations, but on the years we've been on some other stations, I don't remember devoting a whole show to this. If I have, it's been a few years. So it's a worthy subject. It's an important subject. Money matters. We get it right. We get it wrong. It's big. It's big. Look what's happening with our American economy. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. You can get into the discussion taking place right now on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay. I may want to play this clip a couple of times, but many of you, the moment you hear prosperity gospel, immediately associate it with kind of the worst brand of it, which would be typified by this clip. Number one, Joe.
As long, my sister, I know you've been reading the Bible, but as long as we say it's laid up, the wicked going to keep it. But God says time for us to tell that money, you don't belong to the wicked, you belong to us. And I want you to get in the right place. Money coming to me now.
Now, have you ever been in a meeting where people were doing that en masse? I haven't been, but I've seen them on YouTube. And I guess if I watch Christian TV, I might see them sometimes. I don't have a TV, period, but I don't watch Christian TV, not having a TV anyway. A friend of mine was at a meeting years ago in England, and in the meeting he was a bit shocked when there was a big talk about earthly riches being a sign of God's blessing. One preacher said that these guys, he happened to be black, and the guys that came into his house were white, workers or something, and they were shocked that he had a house like that. And he made it clear to them it was because of God and the gospel that he had this mega wealthy, mega big, mega expensive house. I mean, multi millions of dollars in an exclusive neighborhood. That's not a sin to do that. I would say it's absolutely wrong if you did it through the offerings of people to get there. If you did it through the offerings of people to get a multi-million dollar home in an exclusive area, that's dead wrong. Absolutely wrong. If you happen to be blessed in business or inherited money and live like that, that's between you and God. Scripture would tell you not to lay up treasures on the earth and to be generous. But this man was saying that when those white guys saw the home of this black man, they had to know there was a God in heaven. And I said to my friend, who was just so grieved over this whole thing, I said, and when they see the home of the mafia guy down the block, which is even bigger than his house, will they know there's a devil in hell? I mean, there are some real serious perversions of the message, that God supplies our needs, of the message of give and it will be given to you. On the flip side, many times, those who hold to prosperity message are about the most generous people you can find and give abundantly to the gospel and to help feed the poor and meet the needs of hurting people around the world, because they're not in it for themselves. They're in it for the Great Commission. And those who criticize them are the stingiest people you can meet. So we're going to sort this out today right here on The Line of Fire. Stay with us.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. During the break, I've been having some interaction with a gay listener, claims to be gay Christian, listening on one of our other stations that we air earlier in the day. And I welcome interaction. That's why we have phone lines that are open, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We're not talking about homosexual issues today or other moral cultural issues. We're talking about the prosperity gospel. Now, look, I make a distinction. I make a distinction between when people talk about a health and wealth gospel and a prosperity gospel, because there are many scriptures about healing and very clear promises having to do with the ministry of Jesus and healing right through the entire Bible. And no warnings about the dangers of health in and of itself, but there are warnings about the dangers of covetousness and greed. And Jesus never said, blessed are the sick, but he said, blessed are the poor, or in Luke 6, the poor in spirit, Matthew 5. So I'm not talking about a health and wealth gospel, but the wealth gospel. Is there any truth to it? 866-34-TRUTH. Again, online, askdrbrown.org. Ian in Brooklyn, thanks for calling The Line of Fire today.
Hey, Dr. Brown.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Yes, Ian here. I really like the subject and that you're putting forward today. I got two comments on, you know, disagreeing with the preaching of that prosperity gospel. Number one, in New York, you know, many years ago, there used to be a thing called a pyramid scheme. And what it was, if you were the first few people in, you tell everybody else to bring their money in, but you were the only one that got rich. And I see that's what's happening with a lot of these preachers. They preach this prosperity gospel, but they want you to fill their pocket, build their churches, get their planes going, and then you're left just woeing because you believe into a lie. That's my first comment on that.
There is a real concern, isn't there, that the people that are sometimes preaching are putting the money in their own pocket, that that they're driving the several hundred thousand dollar car and wearing the several thousand dollar shoes and talking about their multi-million dollar house. And look, I've got what someone wears is between them and God. You have to have wisdom if you're a public figure, right? You don't want to be a bad example. If somebody got up to speak, you know, and their clothes are torn and their shoes are falling apart, and they don't arrive on time because the car is breaking down. I mean, that doesn't glorify the Lord. But if it's in another part of the world, though, trust me, I've been in plenty of meetings in India where people travel for several days to get there stinking from head to toe, have tattered clothes on, and no shoes, and carrying the one Bible that they possess. And these are some of the saintliest people you've ever met. But the big problem is, you know, is there any justification? It's a related subject, but a slight tangent. Is there any justification for massive salaries for gospel ministers when their income comes through the gospel? I mean, how can that be right? How can that be ethical? Look, I can guarantee someone, if they sent in a $100,000 check to our ministry today, I can guarantee you it would go right out for gospel needs. I can guarantee that. And if anyone came and examined my life and income for years, there'd be no scandal. On the other hand, if I'm pushing you to give me money here, this is going to prove to you that the prosperity message works. Give me all this money, and it's going to go to my lavish lifestyle. Man, something is very wrong with that.
Paul
addresses it in 1 Timothy 6, speaking of the corrupt mindset that would say godliness as a means to financial gain. Hey, Ian, thanks for calling in. You know, look, at the same time, we know that as we honor the Lord, he does bring blessing. Someone called in the first hour and talked about Chick-fil-A and how God's blessed them even through economically tough times. Well, they stand up and stand out as a Christian company. And they act ethically, and they're closed on Sundays because of their Christian convictions. And they have Christian music in their stores, and they train their employees to really be as gracious and friendly and helpful and courteous as possible. And they're known for family values. Well, sure, God can bless them, and we would expect God to bless them. And then they, in turn, are able to bless others. 866-34-TRUTH. Kelly in Bridge City, Texas, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. I just want to say that blessed are the people that can sell everything they have and give to the Lord, as it says in the Gospels. I don't know. I guess I kind of am on the middle road in what you're talking about here, because I've seen, been around a lot of evangelists that did not, could not make a decent living for their family at all, but yet they would continue to do it, you know, putting their family through not necessarily welfare, but, you know, right at it, out preaching the gospel, showing movies, Christian movies, and, you know, just traveling for hundreds of miles in a pickup truck with all their family crammed in it because they, you know, they couldn't afford to buy anything else.
Kelly, let me just say this. God bless those who've sacrificed for the gospel. And normally when you think of ministry, you think of sacrifice. You don't think of doing it for earthly success or carnal success. But here's the interesting thing, and then get back to your point. What's interesting is that many of the churches where they spoke had very little. They themselves had very little finances, and they gave what they could, and, you know, that was that. But in many other circles, there's this notion that you keep the leader poor, you keep the pastor poor, you keep the evangelist poor. There's no conception that this guy has a family to feed and is doing this day and night, and we think it's just like going to a restaurant, we're going to give him a little tip, you know? And it, the thing I find interesting is that some people who criticize the prosperity gospel the most are really stingy and have very little heart to support the gospel. And then some who are famous prosperity preachers, I may differ with some of their message and some of how they spend their money, but then you go look at their books and they've given millions and millions and millions to feeding the poor in different parts of the world and to spreading the gospel through evangelists and missionaries. So there's truth and error on both sides here.
I agree 100%, and it's really the same to me. You know, I think of people that go to the doctors, and the doctors can't necessarily heal someone, or, you know, even if they do, the people wind up paying, but yet you've got an evangelist preacher full of the Holy Ghost that goes out and he fasts and he prays and God uses him because he's obedient, but yet he don't get those thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, or even enough to even survive a lot of times for his family. And it's just, I think it's a shame on the churches today. They need to, you know, put their money where their mouth is and start, you know, sacrificing a little bit of their stuff for these people that fast and pray and lay hands and heal and, you know.
Great points, Kelly. And in so many cases, there's one extreme or the other. You know, we go to the extreme of if it's all about money, and if you just give, you're going to get 100 times back, and financial riches are a proof of spiritual success, or you go to the other extreme, whereas the less you have, the more holy you are.
Let me make this one last comment, and then I'll let you go. The last thing is, the people that I've seen that complain about the prosperity gospel most of the time are the people that went into it to try to get prosperity, and it didn't work for them, and so they got out of it. So a lot of times, what you got to do is look right in the mirror, and you're going to see what's going on.
Yeah, Kelly, that is a great and very relevant point. Thanks for calling in, man.
Thank you.
You know, I had a friend of mine years ago who began attending a prosperity church in his city because he wanted to find out what they preached and what their emphasis was and see if there's anything good he could learn from. That's what he would do. He would listen to people that were believers, but I thought were way off the wall. But he was trying to see, is there anything good they have? Is there something I can get from what they have to say? And he got fed up. After a while, he said, it's unbelievable. He said, they judge you by the kind of car you drive up in. Everybody's, you know, you got to drive up in the best cars and show up at that service in the best cars, and you're going to get judged by the car that you drive. So he then started to attend this holiness church, and he got fed up there because he found the exact same thing, but the opposite, that they judged you by how poor your car was. The one church judged your spirituality by how nice your car was. The other church judged your spirituality by how poor your car was. I mean, what kind of spiritual immaturity is that on both sides? And look, I am grieved over carnal prosperity preaching. I am grieved by it. I believe it has really brought a lot of trouble on the church in America that has really hurt us, and in that sense hurt us nationally. And has gotten us so fat that we can't get out the church doors to touch a dying and hurting world, and has gotten our priorities in the complete wrong place. That being said, I work with ministries around the world that have to trust God every day for finances, that have to trust God every day for provision, and they know about the blessing of God. They can tell you how they're now feeding hundreds of orphans every day, how they're now providing education for kids that had no education, how they're providing for the elderly, how they're building hospitals. I mean, they are seeing the blessing of God and supernatural provision for the gospel, but it is for the work of God. Their own needs are met, but they live wisely so that they can give abundantly to the things of God. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with your calls and some of my list on what's right and what's wrong with their prosperity gospel.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us today here on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, talking about the prosperity gospel, what's right and wrong with it. Online, you can interact with us at Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, like that page, and you will be blessed as you do, because there's great stuff posted there all the time. Lots of good discussions as well. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Website, askdrbrown.org. If you've never visited there, we have literally hundreds of hours of free resources to listen to. That's right, to watch, to read. Free resources on our online bookstore as well, but tons of stuff for you to take advantage of at askdrbrown.org. Going to go to the phones in a moment. Let me make 5 points of truth that's often preached in the midst of the prosperity gospel. One, there's no lack in God. It's important that we have that view and that understanding that God's abundant. There's no lack in him. And two, there are an abundance of scriptural promises that God supplies our needs, Old Testament, New Testament. Yeah, I know we can debate what needs are versus wants and so on and what our eyes are set on. I'm just saying there are an abundance of scriptural promises that God supplies our needs. And number three, God wants to make us channels of blessing throughout the entire world. These are absolutely true statements, biblically true. Number four, God rewards generosity with generosity. We do reap what we sow. This is very true. Those who are stingy will be rewarded in kind. Those who are generous will be rewarded in kind. And number five, money is important in terms of getting God's work done in the earth and in meeting our personal needs. Can't deny that. Some of you, the biggest issue in your life right now, you're under unrelenting financial pressure. You and your family, you're trying to live wisely, but man, you're under unrelenting financial pressure. And others, you've got a burning heart to do the work of the Lord overseas or to start gospel projects or to help the poor and you need funds. That's true. But what's our attitude towards it? These are the great questions. What's the emphasis of the gospel? These are the great questions. 866-34-TRUTH. Karen in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, hello. I just wanted to say that the tithe was always divisible between the Levite who had no inheritance, the widow, and the fatherless. It just says right here that the Levite can come, for he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the proselyte, the orphan, and the widow who are in your cities, so they may eat and be satisfied, in order that your God will bless you in all your handiwork that you may undertake. And then it says even, it always emphasizes, give to the Levite, the proselyte, to the orphan, and the widow. So it's not only... tithes were only in different kinds of forms, but it was always divisible, and that's something that's not scripturally reiterated in many congregations.
And so, in other words, that as tithes were given, they were always to be divided. They were divisible, to be divided for different purposes, and there was always something in God's heart about giving that you were to pay for those that were serving in ministry, that's scriptural, and you were to help the needy, help the poor, the widow, and that many times in our church giving, that's not adequately understood. Hey, let me say this, Karen. Mm-hmm. You know, you go through the Bible, Old and New Testament, and I think most of us kind of are slapped in the face with how important it is to be engaged in ministries of compassion to the poor and how much God's heart beats for poor and needy people around the world, and something we must become more sensitive to have God's heart and to be near to him. Hey, Karen, thanks for reminding us.
Can I just say one more thing?
Sure.
You know, I know, like, they always say, you know, and this is not a real criticism, but this is something, an observation. They're always saying that, you know, Jesus Christ saved us from the law of sin and death, and they really, really come down on the law. But when it comes to the tithe, which is part of the law, they're emphatic about it. And so that always leaves a little bit of a confusion in my mind. Why?
Right. So so your exact question would be what then?
Well, you know, they're always, you know, downing the law, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But then this part of the law.
Right.
I mean, there's so, if you look at the, you
know, no, I
the evangelists on TV, that's all it is. It's about the tithe. It's not even about the gospel.
Yeah, I understand that. It is a valid question, Karen, that why many Christian teachers, pastors, leaders will say that, we don't follow the law, we're free from the law, but you're absolutely commanded to tithe. So there is an inconsistency there. And what I would say is this, when I look at the tithe, and don't want to get off on that subject because I've touched on it many a time, I look at it as something that was commanded under the law, but is a great working principle that helps us to be disciplined in our giving, helps us to put God first and honor him, and is a great starting point, because many times we need to lock things in and give by way of first fruits. But to look at it as a New Testament command is definitely an error. Hey, thank you, though, for weighing in. Appreciate it very much, Karen. Yeah, I got time for another call. Daniel in Des Moines, Iowa, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Daniel.
Yeah. Yes, hi. How are you?
You're on the air.
Hey, thank you. I got a quick statement to make. When I first became a believer 10 years ago, TBN was a station that I listened to quite often. The new believer, getting new with my Bible. I noticed a lot of these TV evangelists, you know, speaking about how you're blessed, you know, and how God will provide all your needs for you and stuff. You know, I've always lived check since then, and I live in an apartment, and my wife and two kids, I consider myself extremely blessed. And it's still a check-to-check thing, and it's not based upon my faith. But, I mean, when you say that you can lay hands on a jet and claim it, you know, and then, you know, a lot of these people come in town, and they receive these offerings that are just incredible amounts. And, yes, you're right, they may go to, you know, the dispersing to the, you know, to the needy and whatnot. They, if you, you know, contrast them to what Paul did and the other disciples, they stuck around for, you know, years at a time edifying that body that they, they invested time there, you know, and the money actually, you know, was for, you know, not the stuff they actually spend it on. I mean, who needs five mansions, you know?
Yeah, you know, one of my friends, and I don't go around judging the motivation of individual hearts and, you know, whether it's financial accountability and boards and those things that are set up, I leave it to them to work on those things. But one of my friends was telling me about, a prosperity guy came into his church, and it was a prosperity church, and he and the pastor went out, and on the ministry, each bought each other like $30,000 watches and just had a game of it. When that junk does go on, that's ugly. Hey, I got a break coming up, out of time, but thank you for the call, Daniel. I appreciate it. Just a reminder, a special resource we offered yesterday, offering again today, very, very important in the day in which we live. Attorney Joe Infranco teaching 6 hours on the separation of church and state and reviewing some very important cases happening in America today. It's only $25 for the CD for your MP3 player or your computer. But if you get it today, we'll also give you free my CD on It's Time to Rock the Boat. This is a 6-hour class. Wake up, shake up. It'll stir your heart. Trust me. So the two together, just $25, and we'll pay the postage too. So it's a great deal and very, very important resources. But call us right now at 1-800-278-9978. All right? And if you can give beyond that, awesome. It'll help us reach more people through the radio. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The prosperity gospel, good or bad, true or false, does it have some truth mixed with error? Is it from the pit? Is it something sent by God? Is it something the church needs? It is something that's bringing the church into dangerous, dangerous places. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today as we focus on what's right and wrong with the prosperity gospel. I've got my list of five things that are right, seven that are wrong. I could have expanded on this massively, but I want to take a lot of your calls, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Now, I played this clip at the first part of the hour for those listening to that part of the show, and the first part of the previous hour for that, for those listening to that. I'm gonna play it one more time. I think some of you want to hear it one more time. This would be one of the worst associations of the prosperity gospel.
As long, my sister, I know you've been reading the Bible, but as long as we say lay it up, the wicked gonna keep it. But God says time for us to tell that money, you don't belong to the wicked, you belong to us, and I want you to get in the right place. Money coming to me now.
I don't know if you've ever been in meetings like that. Some of you are now charged, and you just started going into those motions, and you're reaching. That's what they do at the meeting, you know. Everybody reach out and pull the money back in, and money cometh to me now, and that is what the gospel's about. And let me tell you that the great majority of the people are not doing it thinking money comes to me now so I can build that orphanage in Uganda. Money comes to me now so I can help the homeless in my community. Money comes to me now so I can sow into missions in the third world. No, most of the emphasis is on money comes to me now for me, for my desires, my wants, my things. Yeah, my needs. Look at what John Piper has to say about this.
I don't know what you feel about the prosperity gospel, the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, but I'll tell you what I feel about it. Hatred. It is not the gospel. And it's being exported from this country to Africa and Asia, selling a bill of goods to the poorest of the poor. Believe this message, your pigs won't die, your wife won't have miscarriages, you have rings on your fingers and coats on your back. That's coming out of America.
Well, I have been to other parts of the world and seen exactly what John Piper's talking about. My first trip to India, the first of 17 so far, 1993, the brother we're working there who's been stoned for his faith, who's had some of his workers beaten and martyred as they've been sent out, some that we've been involved with firsthand. He was so grieved. An American prosperity preacher had come over to his country and was talking to the people out there about his $3,000 pair of shoes. And you could see the faith he had based on the multi-hundred-thousand-dollar car that he drove. This is in India. And my friend and the folks he was with there were absolutely upset and grieved over it. And they said there was nothing about the blood of Jesus in anything that was spoken. At the same time, these people there understand a lot about God prospering because some of them were homeless, some of them were on the streets, and now they're providing for orphans. Some of them didn't even have barely clothes on their back, and now they're providing clothes for kids all in their communities. There is a biblical blessing that they understand and a supernatural faith to meet needs, and I would separate what John Piper was saying about health and blessing, because many of these people would say that they've seen they were having miscarriage after miscarriage, and they came to faith, and now God's blessed them with children. And this relative was dying, and they prayed, and God healed them. I clearly separate that from the wealth issue. But what is right about prosperity gospel, and what is wrong? What's your take? 866-34-TRUTH. Back with more.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are focused on the prosperity gospel today. It's Tuesday on the Line of Fire, which means we're focused on biblical issues, biblical practical living, apologetics, theology. Tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to have an important interview. We're going to be talking about separation of church and state and filling in on some important victories that have recently taken place. Thursday, very important broadcast as well. We'll be critiquing an anti-Christian Zionist video with God on our side. And Friday, as always, we've got questions. You've got questions. We've got answers. God's willing, that's what we'll be doing this week. But today, focusing on the prosperity gospel, 866-34-TRUTH, online, askdrbrown.org. I've got a list again of some things that are right about the prosperity gospel and then many that are wrong about it. I'm not talking about the notion that Jesus died to make you rich. That's why he came. That's why he died. If that's the primary emphasis of what you believe, that's messed up. That is messed up. But if you're talking about that God's not glorified by our poverty and lack and that he abundantly supplies for his work, there's truth in that, but it's often misapplied. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, right back to the phones. Tracy in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I wanted to just a couple quick comments and one question, and then I'll let you go. I'm a middle-class American Christian woman, and I completely believe in giving. And I, you know, I would much rather give than to receive and all of those kinds of things. What I have found, even not so much with my church, because I trust where the money goes from my particular church, but what I've found in these bigger ministries when I'm tuning in and listening and they're asking for my money, I hear what they're trying to ask for the money for, but instead of giving them my money, I go and I research the causes, and then I find another way to give my money. So sometimes I'll cut out the middleman. I'll say, okay, is this really an issue? And then I'll go online and see what's going on in this third world country, and can I find another way to give my money? That way I know it's going to the right place. Or if it's a local mission, I'll not only give my money, but I'll go to the place myself and give my time. So I kind of I've found, and a lot of my friends have also done it, we're kind of cutting out the middleman, making sure the money's going where it needs to go. And that's what was my comment. And then my question is, in the Bible it talks about, you know, not letting the right hand see what the left hand is doing, and I think a lot of these big wig pastors and preachers, they're glorifying what they're doing. They want everybody to know what they're doing, and you know the Bible says don't tell everybody what you're doing. You do it and glorify God, and God will praise you, and nobody else needs to know.
Yeah, as a general principle, Tracy, for sure, that's what we want to do. We want our giving to be in secret. We want to not make a public display of it. We want God to know, and then it's done as an act of righteousness and generosity before him. I would say that there are times to encourage people, if it's done with the right motivation. And for example, when we raise funds for our missionaries every year at our annual missions conference, and the first fruits of money that comes into our ministry here goes to help support our missionaries around the world as well. But when we raise money, what we'll do is we'll present the need. This is to our folks and those who come to a missions conference. And these are our missionaries that have been raised up in our midst and sent out that are going around the world. And we'll say, okay, Tracy, she's on her way back to the Philippines. She's going to be working with the orphanage there. And she's $200 short on her support. We need 10 people to pledge $20 a month. And everybody raises hands. We give it out. It's like a nameless, faceless thing, but it's public. But we're doing that just to get something done in a public setting. And perhaps there's a place where someone can get up publicly and say, hey, listen, I'm happy to lose my heavenly reward, but I want to encourage you. I really felt the Lord told me this was an important cause. So I felt it was important that I'm really into golf. I sold this new thing of golf clubs. I'm going to play with my old clubs, but I did that to give to this mission. I think it's that important. Would you pray about it? If you're doing it with that motivation and not to be seen by men and perfectly happy to lose your heavenly reward because you want to motivate others to give, that's fine. That's not violating the spirit of it, but it's when I'm making a public show about my giving or my generosity or trying to draw attention to me, that's when I'm really in error. And, you know, that would be the spirit of what Jesus is saying. Hey, Tracy, thanks for the call, and keep giving, keep being a blessing.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless. Hey, listen. If you like someone that's on TV or radio, and they're raising money for a particular cause, and you say, man, I want 100% of my money to go to that cause and want to give directly to it, as Tracy says she does, great. But just don't forget, if you're enjoying the person on TV or radio, support them as well, okay? That's great to do. So you don't have to throw out the baby with the bathwater on that. But the point is, when the guy on television tells me, if I will send in $1,000 today, that God will do thus and such for me, That's when you need to shut the TV and pray for mercy on that person's life. All right? 866-34-TRUTH. Todd in Tampa, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, Dr. Brown, I mean, I prayed for 21 days for the president, mercy for him, for his unholy ways, again, trying to take away the contribution to those few that go to church and do tithe. You know, I've been dealing with pastors for so long, and let's say they have 100 people in their church, 20% of them tithe and 80% give a dollar. I mean, and that's not scriptural. I understand what you're saying, and Jesus said, I know the thoughts and intents of the heart. He perceived the heart. So he knows if your giving is for men or like if your heart is pure, like the woman who gave two mites, and Jesus called the disciples over and said, this woman hath given more than all of these, okay? So I'm just telling you, yes, you know, I believe $100 with a pure heart at your local church, or if you gave out your address and people sent you $5 for what you believed was the word of God is being proclaimed on by you on the station, then, you know, people would say, you know, let me send, and their heart is pure, they'd send Dr. Brown. But I believe $100 in Jesus' hands is better than $1 million in the government's hands. So I, you know, and given it shall be given. You give with a pure heart. That's the beauty of Jesus, because he knows everything you do in secret and private, and he knows the heart. Even Samuel, when he anointed David king, didn't know the heart. He said, this boy's way too young, but what did the father say? He said, I see the heart, not like man sees on the outside. I love you, Dr. Brown. Give out your address. Keep a pure heart.
All right. God bless, man. Appreciate it. All right. Thanks for that call from Todd in Tampa, full of passion. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. All right. I'm going to take another side of the story here for a moment. I've spoken clearly against gospel greed. I've spoken clearly against the idea that the gospel is a means for financial gain. Yes, there are promises in Scripture that as we honor the Lord, he blesses our lives. Here, come on. Somebody was an alcoholic, right? They're spending their money on drink. They're crazily giving their money away. They're not clear-headed. Their family's in debt. Now get saved. Maybe this man gets wonderfully saved, starts working hard, starts giving generously, starts honoring the Lord. You don't think there's going to be a turnaround in their personal finances? Of course there will. However, to think that the gospel is a means for financial gain is a terrible and serious error, and is completely unrelated to the fact that God meets the needs of his people and enables us to be channels of blessing. But let me take the other side of this story for a minute here. I've seen it so many times that people who are critical of prosperity gospel are often very stingy themselves and are not big givers themselves and are not marked by generosity themselves. And I've worked with, I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches all over America and all over the world. And in terms of pastors and leaders that were making a lot of money off the gospel, pastors and leaders who were personally making a lot of money off the gospel and were in ministry for the purposes of financial prosperity, I mean, I could probably count them. In terms of ones I've personally worked with and served with in different ways and preached for, got to hang out and have meals with, I mean, can I count it on one hand? I'm talking about hardly any. In other words, people are not in it for the money. Everyone that served with me here through the years at Fire, served in our church staff with the pastoral leadership, served in our school staff, served in our mission staff. Every one of them has had to do it sacrificially. Every one of them has had to do without. Every one of them has had to trust God at different times when finances were tight. And that's very common. And yet, you'll have people sitting in the pews, so to say, I mean, just in terms of typical church terminology, going to services, sitting there listening to messages, having their kids cared for in nursery, calling a leader to pray for them in the hospital when they're sick, and they're stingy. And they're not giving generously because I'm not going to make the pastor rich. That's bogus. That's nonsense. Your generous giving is not going to make anybody rich. Your generous giving is going to take pressure off people that are there to minister to you and are there to help others. And I could tell you that if everyone that was committed to a local body gave at least 10% to the gospel work there, that would, just as a principle, not as a command, but as a principle, as a good starting point, I guarantee you, that body would have more than enough, not just to meet the needs of that flock, but to give generously to help the poor and needy locally and in other places. Don't be stingy in the name of being anti-prosperity gospel.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're talking about the prosperity gospel, what's right, what's wrong about it, what truths does it have, what gets distorted, what's unbiblical. I want to read two short portions of scripture to you, all right? First from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul encouraging the Corinthian believers to give generously. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Wow. Some prosperity preachers will say, that's exactly what our message is. What you read there, that's our message. To that extent, I say yes and amen. That is scripture. Now listen to what Paul writes again in 1 Timothy 6. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicion, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. To the extent people preach money as the object of the gospel, to the extent that people get your eyes on money, not for kingdom purposes, but for personal gain, they have now twisted the gospel of Jesus. Paul continues, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment, command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Do you know it is a rich Christian man who really wanted to see me expand our radio outreach that pledged money to help us get started this first year? This is someone with kingdom values, with a kingdom heart, who does not want to be known, and is sowing generously, joyfully, into helping us spread awakening, cultural revolution, Jesus mindset, biblical values into the hearts and lives of people all across America. Someone who's wealthy, who's been blessed to be wealthy, and who is using his money for kingdom purposes. Can I also tell you that we continue on the air through gifts of folks who are primarily not rich, through everyone doing what they can do. In other words, it's a both and thing if we have the same mentality. There's Thank God for those who are rich and have kingdom foundations, and thank God for those who are not and have kingdom foundations. It's not one better than the other. It's each having their place and doing their role. Playing their role. That being said, let me give you my summary again real quick. Five things that are right about prosperity gospel preaching. There's no lack in God. One, two, there are an abundance of scriptural promises that God supplies our needs. Three, he wants to make us channels of blessing throughout the world. Four, he rewards generosity with generosity. We do reap what we sow. Five, money is important in terms of getting God's work done in the earth and in meeting our personal needs. What is wrong? One, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Two, covetousness is idolatry, and our lives do not consist in the abundance of our possessions. Three, we are commanded not to love the world or the things of the world. Four, Jesus taught us to store up heavenly treasures, since our hearts would follow our treasures. Five, the gospel begins with a call to deny ourselves and take up the cross. Six, some of the saintliest people on the earth are the poorest. In fact, the gospel tends to thrive more among the rich than the poor. Seven, having food and clothing, we should be content. The pursuit of riches leads to destruction. Set your heart on pleasing the Lord, loving the Lord, honoring the Lord. Set your heart on wanting to be a generous person who can be a channel of blessing to others. Prove to be a good and faithful steward with the little that you have. God can entrust you with more, and he's entrust you with more. Yes, he can bless you personally. That's fine. But the great goal is that as you are blessed, you become a channel of blessing to meet the needs, to help those, to bring the gospel to people around the world. Be a channel of blessing. Be blessed so that you can be a blessing. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Other things will be added to you. Let your heart be on God and not on the things. All right. Reminder again, if you're in the greater North Carolina area or greater Charlotte area, I should say, our night classes at Fire School of Ministry. First time we've been having night classes now on a regular basis. And the first time I'll be teaching these now. 8 weeks, beginning August 23rd. If we're able to do webcast live stream, then we'll let everybody know nationally. But if you're in the greater Charlotte area, they start August 23rd. Mark it down, all right? 8 weeks, Principles of Revival. It'll be 2 hours a night, followed by 8 weeks on the book of Jeremiah. And these classes can also go towards our night school certificate, part of Fire Leadership Institute. So put that on your calendar. And some very important shows the rest of the week. Call a friend who may not be familiar with the broadcast. Encourage them to tune in. And a very important resource, I talked about it yesterday, going to talk about it more tomorrow. Issue of separation of church and state is so big in our culture. It is so misunderstood. It is such an issue that's being used against the followers of Jesus and the gospel. My friend Joe Infranco, a senior attorney with the Alliance Defense Fund, spent 6 hours with us a couple of summers ago going through the history of this concept, what's right and wrong about contemporary understandings, major court cases today. It's $25 for the CD, for your MP3 player, or for your computer with his class on separation of church and state. But when you order it today, we'll also give you free, as a blessing, my six-hour class. So two for the price of one on It's Time to Rock the Boat, which, trust me, will light a fire on you, stir your hearts. So those together for $25, and we'll pay the postage, all right? So call us today at 1-800-278-9978. Great resource for you and your friends. Be very helpful to distribute to others. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, that's 1-800-278-9978. If you're able to help with more, or if you want to become a monthly torchbearer and stand with us and hold our hands up as we take the message of Jesus and moral, cultural, spiritual revolution around America and around the world, that would be awesome. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, we serve an abundant God, a God who created the universe, and a God in whom every one of our needs is already met as we trust him. Let us set our heart on spreading the gospel and being his ambassadors here on this earth, and he will care for us and make us channels of blessing to help a hurting and dying world. Friends, that is the gospel. Shake.